Hi, this is your friend Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to the Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to the Miracle Cafe. Hey, my beautiful friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. I'm your host, Emmanuel Dagger, and I'm excited to connect with you again. The theme for today's show is Foundations for Our Youth, and we'll be chatting with an extraordinary guest later on in the show who will share her amazing insights on this very important and timely subject. So right now, let's set the intention for today's show. So the intention for today is that we each have at least one expansive aha moment during the show. So if you agree with that, something that will give you some new perspective, new insight, so that you can have those expansions. So if you agree with that, just affirm out loud, and so it is. Good. All right, so let's just get right into our first segment, which is all about the energy update. And as you know, I have a monthly article that I call the Energy Forecast, and you can check that out at magnifiedmanifesting.com to see what's going on energetically. But this is kind of a similar thing that I'm sharing here on the show, except for it's more tailored, more specific to what's going on today, like right now, or these past few days. So what I've noticed, just talking to friends and clients and just meeting people and observing and seeing what's going on out there, I'm noticing that there's a lot of intensity going on, lots of intense energy. I know earlier on this month we had quite a few solar flares that always, you know, affect the whole universe, really, our solar system, and it actually enters our atmosphere as well and affects us even on an energetic level physically, because we are energy. So if you're experiencing some headaches, or if you're having a little bit of vertigo, or feeling thirsty, or anything like that, just know that it could very well be because of the solar flares, solar activity, lots of energy moving. So just make sure you're well hydrated, taking good care of yourself, you know, honoring your body, listening to your body, and, you know, nurturing and loving the body. And also, during these times of intensity, there seems to be, on an emotional level, a lot of things that come up for many of us. So what happens is, one thing that I've noticed is certain times during, you know, big movements and shifts that are happening energetically, that we can have tendencies to say something that maybe we don't really mean, because we're maybe irritated, or we're not in a space that feels most aligned to us, whether we're driving, whether we're at the store, whatever. So there may be a tendency to project that out onto someone else, or maybe if you're noticing others kind of in that space, and, you know, maybe you got cut off while you were driving, and someone was rushing, you know, and that could, you know, sometimes irritate us. But just realize that right now, because everyone is going through something as far as on an energetic level, whether it's, you know, relationship-related, work-related, or just, you know, a little bit sensitive or whatever it is, just really be aware that everyone is going through something, and it can be anything, but let's have more compassion for that. And when we understand that, from that perspective, that everyone is probably going through something right now, then it becomes easier to not take things too personally, and we can have more of that compassion and love. Let me give you an example. The other day I was at Trader Joe's, and someone, a lady accidentally hit, not hit, but like was not paying attention and basically rubbed the cart that she was pushing against another lady's foot from the back. And so, you know, immediately the lady who wasn't paying attention was very apologetic. I'm so sorry. You know, I feel so bad, those things. And then the other lady was very angry, and she was projecting, you know, all of these things that she was sharing, you know, oh, you did that on purpose. And I was like, interesting. So just observing that. And when she could have actually said, oh, I accept your apology. You know, I know this happens every now and then. I we can move on. But it was interesting to observe. But the beautiful thing that I noticed was that the person who was apologetic actually didn't resist, didn't get angry back. She actually said, you're so right. You are so right. I am so apologetic. Please forgive me. And then the other lady just walked off. But to me, it shows that, you know, this lady is aware that even though she accidentally may have rubbed the cart against her foot and maybe, you know, causing a little pain for the lady, that, you know, it snapped her back into the present, and she was fully apologetic and sincere. And it was just really nice to see that she was coming from that place and didn't come back and get resistant and angry. And then, you know, what could have happened from there. So that was really interesting to observe. But these are the kind of things that happen when there's a lot of energy in the air. And so just being mindful what we say, how we say it, from a place of love, or is it from a place of something that doesn't feel very loving. And that's something to watch out for in these times right now, especially when there's a lot of intense energy going on. So, and my favorite thing is just to, before I go out, every day, before I walk out the door, I always just center for one moment, and I focus on my heart space, and I focus on, if my heart was wearing a big smile on its face, what would that feel like? And I'll just feel into that for a few, maybe 30 seconds, and then I'll go out the door. So that's a little thing that we can do during those times where we're observing certain intense energies, maybe at work or whatever it is. Just get into your heart, see it smiling, and send that vibration out to all those around you. All right, so that's kind of what I've been noticing. And if you have something that you've been noticing or you've been seeing happening around you, please email me at Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com. I would love to hear your perspective and what's going on your end. All right, so actually, let's just jump right into our gratitude segment now. I love gratitude. I know that you know that already, but for those who are just tuning in, gratitude is such a powerful energy. If you're tuning in for the first time, or maybe just now getting into this kind of work and self-empowerment, gratitude, if there's anything that I would just give you a piece of advice or something that I've seen transform my life, it's gratitude. The more we're grateful, the more blessings we attract, because gratitude has this amazing energy, first of all, of raising our vibration. Because when we're grateful, it's very hard to be in the lack mentality, right? It's very, puts us immediately into the abundance mentality, because we are grateful. We are finding something to be grateful for. And it can be as close as our breath. We are so grateful for our breath, the health that's flowing in your body. It could be your family, your friends, your job, your, you know, the house that you live in, your everything. So what happens is, the more we are grateful for, the more blessings we attract. And I know this absolutely 100% to work, because I've seen it, I've noticed it all around in my life and in those that I've, you know, seen who use that tool for transformation. So let's take one moment right now and affirm out loud what you're grateful for. Right now, just affirm what you're grateful for. And if you can't think of anything, just find something within you, your breath, your gifts, your talents. Right now, just take one moment. Good. And while you're doing that, I'd love to share some of the gratitudes that you've shared with me through email. And so Colleen in Indiana is grateful for choosing to consciously live in the moment where she feels the most at peace. Thank you, Colleen. Yes. Tucker in Boston is grateful for his ability to be organized and get things accomplished relatively quickly. Yes, I love that. And Alicia in Italy is grateful for living near the sea where the air is clean and fresh every single day. Wow, I love that. I love the ocean too. So thank you. Thank you, Colleen, Tucker, and Alicia for sharing your gratitude. And all those listening, if you want to share your gratitude, please do so, because when you share your gratitude, when you put it out there and you have many who hear it and experience it, then it magnifies for you. So if you have a gratitude to share, please submit it to Emmanuel@MiracleCafeRadio.com, and I'll make sure to read them on the air. And now I'm so excited to introduce our special guest today. Vicky Savini has been empowering children and adults through individual consultations and group workshops for over a decade. She has experience not only in the field of psychology, but also in the healing arts and overall wellness. Vicky is a licensed science of mind practitioner, Reiki energy worker, and talented intuitive guide. She uses her real-world experiences and eclectic training to educate, enlighten, and empower everyone she meets. Vicky, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for having me with you today. I'm truly honored to be speaking with you.
Likewise, and I just love your mission, what you're doing here on the planet, especially with our children. And the theme today is creating a solid foundation for our youth. And I wanted to ask you, just let's get right into it. Can you share a little bit with our audience of what brought you to this point in time right now where you've become so passionate about building the solid foundation for our children?
Well, you know, it really has been my entire life has led me to where I am today. And I firmly believe that our foundation is what really is most important. And when you think about a foundation of a human being, that would be their childhood. Mm-hmm. And all too often, we ignore childhood. We think of it as, you know, just this brief moment in time. But in actuality, it's not. It is the most critical time period in our lives. And so what really brought me here was, if you really take the time and you think about creating a building in our society, before you create a building, what you do is you lay the blueprint, you know, you get everything in line, how you want it to be. You definitely want this building to last for a long time, and so you have to give it stability. Well, with us as human beings, it's really the same thing. If we don't have a strong foundation, we will crumble in time. Mm. And so when you look at what's happening in our world with children, in our schools, you really have to sit back and say, what is it that we need to do to empower our children? You know, we're very focused on academics and data collection, but we're not as focused as on really developing the person, developing the child, and teaching them how to connect with something bigger. And so that's really what has led me here.
Wow. And, you know, it just makes me think of, I've read many studies that they say from the age of when a child is born until they're 7 years old is a very important and pivotal time in their life. Of course, beyond that as well, but it just really shapes kind of what their life's going to be with what they see around them and what they experience. Is that something you've noticed as well?
Absolutely. We are a movie for our children 24/7, and that goes for everyone. Even if you don't have children, if you're walking through a park, if you're having a conversation on a telephone, they absorb everything around them, both physically and energetically, and they take that with them. And because they're so pure, they don't often know what to do with that energy. You know, we have all of these labels in society for our children now. And it just makes me chuckle, because really what's happening is their systems, their energy systems, are being overloaded. So we have to really stop and realize that everything that we do and everything that we say and the energy that we're putting out, those children are picking up on.
even the way that we would be treating ourselves, right? Like, let's say a mom is maybe not taking care of as much as for herself as much as she should, whether it's, you know, pampering herself. The children see that, right?
Absolutely. In several articles that I've written before, I like to joke around a lot when I'm writing. But I always say, there's a reason when you're in an aircraft, they say, in the event of an emergency, put the mask on your face first before the child on the side of you. You know, when I first took an airplane trip with my son and my husband, he had to be a little over a year old. And when they said that, of course, as a young mother, you think, oh, I would never do that. Of course I would put it over my child's face first.
Mm-hmm.
But hindsight is 20/20, and when you stop and think about that, I really couldn't put it over my child's face if I didn't have oxygen for myself.
Right.
And so when I'm teaching workshops, and I work mostly with mothers and teachers, I always tell them, you have to take care of yourself. That is the number one step in our tour guide for essentials and giving children a strong foundation for the adults. You have to love yourself. If you do not love yourself, you cannot teach the children in front of you, be it your own children or the children that you're servicing, to love themselves. And that is the critical component that we need to go forward and navigate life successfully.
Wow. And that is such a powerful statement. And along those lines, you know, self-love, obviously that is a foundation. What are some other core principles, or if you'd like to expand more on that one, that you work with when creating a solid foundation for the children?
Well, I like to keep it simple. So for me, with the children, I'm basically teaching them to love themselves, how to love others, and how to honor interdependence while they're still being independent. I really feel it's important to teach them how to embrace the feeling of love for the world so that they know that it's okay for them to be themselves and to speak their truth, but that they have to understand that everything that we do or say, we are affecting one another. So I believe interdependence is very important too, teaching them that we're all connected and we're connected to something much bigger. And sometimes I think we're missing that in our society. We're afraid to talk about that, that kids need to be connected.
Oh, yeah. And we see it in adults as well.
Absolutely.
Not being able to say what they really want. You know, they're thinking something that they really want to say, but maybe we've been taught from our parents and their parents to kind of keep quiet and just, you know, soak it up. What do they call it? Suck it up and just keep going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times the words that we use, like meditation and yoga, mindfulness, it can be taboo, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
See, By trade, I am a full-time teacher in a public school in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, I have taught my children yoga and meditation and how to balance themselves. You know, for Mother's Day, they do therapeutic touch.
Aww.
But it's interesting because when I've spoken of this to other teachers, they always say to me, how do you get away with that? And I'm always so dumbfounded. What do you mean get away with that? This is what we should be teaching them. We should be teaching them to quiet their minds.
Mm.
We should be doing that. You know, when my kids come back from lunch or recess and their energy is off the charts, how can I teach their mind if I can't touch their heart first? I need to touch their heart first.
Wow. Gosh, I wish I'm setting the intention right now that many teachers are listening right now and taking notes, because this is just amazing. Being so intuitive yourself, that just intuitive enough to know that the kids need to kind of rebalance and get back into their heart center. It's so important. You know, a lot of times we can just be, even as adults, so in our own story, we forget that there's these little amazing beings that are watching us. So that is just so amazing. I'm so grateful that you shared that. And on that, I wanted to also ask you, what is or what are some of the most rewarding parts of working with kids for you?
Well, that's very easy for me. The lessons that I learned from them. I learned so many lessons from kids, and also the opportunity to make a difference at a critical time in their lives. You know, I watch them. Most of what I do in my classroom has really come from my children. I cannot take the credit for it. And I'll give you a perfect example. Many years ago, I was teaching first grade, and it was one of my first years teaching first grade. And my kids came in from recess, and it was very difficult to get them to settle down, and I just did not know what to do. So I called them over to the meeting place, and I said, "Boys and girls, come on over here and just sit down. Let's just take a few deep breaths, and let's just relax." And I looked up for a moment, and I see a little boy sitting there, crisscross applesauce, you know, like Indian style, I guess you would say. And he's got his elbows on his knees and his index finger to his thumb up in the air with both hands and his eyes closed.
Oh.
And I said, "Alex, honey, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm meditating." And I said, "You're what?" He said, "I'm meditating." I said, "Oh, no, sweetheart. It's called meditating. What a great idea." And I said, "Let's do it the right way." And so that's where meditation was born in my classroom.
Wow.
That was almost 10 years ago. So it was really interesting for me because when people ask me what's rewarding about working with children, it's the lessons that I learned from them.
Mm.
You see, when we first come to this earth, we're just so pure. We're this pure, beautiful light, this beautiful energy. As my son will say, he's 6 years old, and he tells me, "Mom, don't adults get it that children know more stuff because they remember what it was like?"
Wow. Your son is saying this?
Oh, I can tell you stories about him. He just makes me laugh. But it's true. They're pure, and they haven't really been affected by very much, especially when you get them at age 4 or 5 or 6. And so there's so many beautiful lessons to learn from them, because as adults, we've really taken on a lot of those tapes in our head. We've mm-hmm. taken on some things, and we have some cracks in our own foundation that are getting deeper and deeper because we've unplugged from source. We have forgotten who we truly are. And those children are such a pure light that if you just sit back and watch them, mm-hmm. they remind you who you are.
Wow. And you know what's amazing is that, you know, with amazing teachers and people who inspire like you, it makes their transition into adulthood smooth, and they can continue with some of those principles of meditation and, you know, love, self-love, etc., and not have to retrain themselves like many of us have had to. And of course that those retraining sometimes they're very difficult because the mind really got used to a certain way of being. So that's so amazing. And I want to ask you, just in the past 10 years with specifically meditation, how have you seen or what are some of the results that you've actually seen or witnessed in your classroom with that?
Well, you know, I usually do get the children who have, what they would say is a great deal of energy, the children mm-hmm. that may have labels per se, mm-hmm. and the more challenging group of children. And I find that too can be a challenge for them. But once they really start to settle their mind and they feel that their energy can calm down, you start to see who they truly are. Mm-hmm. So when you get beyond that level of fear and teach them how to balance their own energy, then you're able to see their true light, which to me is amazing. So what I've seen is it has really helped my children to focus better, to be kinder to one another. Mm-hmm. Whenever we do yoga, we have a huge yoga circle, and we do just a few poses, and at the end I always say to them, the light in me honors the light in you, and they say back to me, "Namaste."
Aww.
It's so sweet, so sweet. And it teaches them really to be kind to one another. So one of the things that I see is that in and of itself, it's teaching them that we're all connected in some way, shape, or form. So I don't deal with a lot of the issues that many teachers deal with where the children are not being kind to one another. Mm-hmm. They usually work that out because that's part of my toolbox for them. Mm-hmm. I teach that very early.
Wow. And so these kids, are you seeing their self-esteem as well rise and just really feel confident in who they are through these some of these practices. Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also, Emmanuel, you should know, from the first day of school when my children walk into my classroom, my first question to them is, so tell me something great about you.
Wow.
And they
like, how many teachers, I'm sorry, how many teachers ask that? I don't remember any one teacher asking me that. Okay, that's awesome.
No, I do wish there were more. And if I were to say what my goal is to really get out there, especially in America, and to teach teachers that, you know, while everybody is so worried about how curriculum is changing and the core and all of these other things, we really need to touch their hearts before we can teach their minds. So my ultimate goal is to get out there and to give teachers the permission to step out of the box and to really get to know their kids and to love their kids, to find that beautiful light within them. So that would be my goal.
Wow.
But, yeah, so we start very beginning of the year, and I ask them that question, and it's always cute because some of them look at me like, is this lady nuts? But right off the rip, I know the kids who have self-esteem problems, and I teach first grade at this time. So
wow.
Even coming in at 6 years old, if I look at a child and say, tell me something great about you, and they really can't answer me, that's a red flag for me. And that says to me, okay, I need to work hard on this child to get them to see their light because they're forgetting it already, and that's early to start forgetting that beautiful light.
Wow. You're like a modern-day Mary Poppins. I don't know if anyone said that, but it seems, you know, I just keep thinking about that, where, you know, when they first met her and they were like, who is this magical creature? But it's just like, who is this? I've never seen anything like that. So that's so inspiring to hear. And I'm knowing that they are just, their lives are probably being so transformed. They'll never forget you, that's for sure.
Yeah, I do love that when I have students come back to me that had me years ago and they're in middle school or high school and they say, you know, we just never forget Mrs. Savini. And I always like to ask them, well, what do you remember? And most of my students will respond, I remember that I just always felt good. And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that they always felt good in my class. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to learn the academics. That's a given. And I know they're going to do their absolute best. But mm-hmm. I want to know that when they leave my classroom, that they've gained something in their foundation, that they've mm-hmm. learned to believe in themselves, that they've learned to talk positively to themselves, that they've learned to treat others with kindness. That's what I want to know, that I added to their character.
And, you know, sometimes those seeming challenging kids, that's all they need is to know that they are loved and accepted and seen and heard, and it seems that you are providing that. So, you know, it could not even necessarily be an academic challenge, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, wow. Okay, now I want to ask you, going back to self-love, I know we can say, you know, teaching them self-love. Is there a specific tool that you can share with us on self-love that you share with them of how to actually apply it, what to actually do to start loving themselves more?
Absolutely. It starts by me asking them to tell me something great about them because that kind of gives me a little vision into what's going on inside of them. And then I start right away teaching the kids that it's okay. It's okay to love yourself. We do mirror work, so I have mirror work at least twice a week in the classroom, and we go around in the circle, and the kids have to look into the mirror, and they have to say something kind to themselves with their own eyes. Every day we do affirmations, so we choose an affirmation from this deck that I have, and then we work on the affirmation throughout the day. So I would
wow.
say the first step is really teaching them to speak kindly to themselves. The second step is I teach them how to shield themselves, so to speak, because sometimes kids repeat things or say things out of hurt, and they don't mean to hurt the other child, but it does. And as they get older, and this happens to us as adults, we've had this happen so many times that our shell gets a little thicker. So what I teach them is what really matters most is how you see yourself. So when someone says to you, you're not my friend, or you're ugly, or you have big ears, or whatever it is, because you know how kids can be, that they stop and they say, well, is that true? Is that really true? And there's a beautiful book by Byron Katie. It's a children's book called Tiger, Tiger, Is It True? And I use that in my classroom because it teaches them to really say to yourself, this horrible thing that they're saying about me, instead of allowing it to hurt me, is it really true? And then the last thing I teach, well, that's the last, there's a million things, but one of the other things I teach them is how to speak their truth. So I start with I statements very early, teaching them how to use an I statement, and that it's very appropriate to use an I statement to tell how they feel without blaming the other person and to tell the other person what they need.
Mm. Wow. I can't even believe. I mean, this is stuff that adults need. do you work with these tools with adults as well,
as
far as going through similar processes?
Yes. It's funny because probably for the past 20 or so years of my life, I've worked with children in many different facets, from shelters where children were abused to social work to teaching. I've done everything you can imagine working with children. And this all came about very organically, the work that I do. I run some camps in the summer for children to build self-esteem. And one of the camps I was running is called Girls Rule Camp. And what we do is we teach girls to believe in themselves and to speak their truth. And during one of the programs, one of the moms said to me a few years back, well, Mrs. Savini, what do you have for the big girls? And we were working with a group of 7 and 9-year-olds. So I said to her, oh, well, actually, we're considering expanding to middle school soon. And she said, no, I mean the big girls. And I said, oh, high school? And she said, no, I mean the really big girls. And I kind of looked at her and tilted my head like, what are you talking about? And she said, the mommies.
Wow.
And I just sat back and I thought, oh, I'm missing a huge component here. And so that opened that whole door, and I started working with basically moms, and then I started working with teachers. And so it's just been a very organic process. And I've always been open. I just say, okay, I'm here to serve you, so what is it that you want me to do? And the universe just takes me where it needs me to go.
Wow. Yeah, that's another thing it sounds so amazing. And the fact that you're open, I want just to take one moment right now and just celebrate that, because going with the flow and just kind of seeing where life kind of just guides us instead of resisting and kind of, you know, doing other blocks for ourselves. I just want to celebrate that within you. So being open.
Isn't it great? And we're not always there at that point. And I always teach this in workshops, that we really, everything does come down to love and fear. It really, really does.
Absolutely.
And when it doesn't feel good, it's not good. If it doesn't feel good, you're fighting the process. You're swimming upstream. And so you have to learn to let go. And sometimes that's hard to do. But in letting go, there's so much beauty that comes from that.
Mm. Yes. It's so simple. And you shared that earlier in the as we were chatting, that you are all about simplicity. And it is, you know, what feels good or what does not feel good, love or fear. And that is so beautiful. That's exactly very similar to the understanding I've come to with that, and it doesn't have to be complicated. I do want to ask you, I know we've probably covered in an indirect way, but I know you actually name your teaching styles, the character and the holistic. Can you expand on each method?
Well, really, character education is just building a strong character in the child, and that's very, very important to me. So for me, as I've said a couple of times during this interview, you really cannot teach a child's mind until you touch their heart, and so that's what I do. I work on their character, not necessarily being upset with them for acting out or for making a poor choice, but teaching them what they can do instead. Holistic education is teaching the child to care about the universe, everything and how it works together, and understanding that we're all connected. So if I say something unkind to you, ultimately I am doing the same to myself. If I walk over and break this pencil, ultimately that's hurting myself. So really teaching them that although we're independent thinkers, we are all connected. So that's pretty much the difference between both of those. But as you can see, I mean, I do focus on academics, don't get me wrong, but my my little mantra to the parents when they meet me is, I don't want you to think I don't care about academics, because I do. I guarantee you that your children will leave my classroom soaring high academically. But what I'm really concerned about is building your child as a whole person. So that becomes my focus. And then for me, I firmly believe that by doing that, the academics soar.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like they almost are excited about academics because of the foundations you are creating for them. Is that something you're noticing as well?
Absolutely. They're getting way too smart for me, to be honest.
That's so funny.
Some of the things they come out with, we just did a great unit in my classroom. I love to ask them, what do you wonder about? And, oh, this is a good one. And they said, well, I wonder about this. I have this crystal rock on my desk. And I said, oh, that's a great idea. And so we did this research on rocks and minerals and where they come from and the healing properties of rocks. And I have a friend in New York City who sent me a bunch of stones and crystals, and they had to find out what their crystal was. And I had the children one day just hold their crystal and close their eyes and tell me if they felt anything. And they wrote down the things that they felt. And Emmanuel, it was amazing. When you looked up the crystal in this book that I have, you know, one child said, I feel peaceful. And another child said, I feel like I have a lot of ideas. It was on mark. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It was exactly what it said in the book for that particular crystal.
Wow. I just want to go back to when you said when they come in, they're so pure, so they were able to connect with that on such a, you know, no judgments. It just was, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was never, you know, you have to be very careful because it's a public school, but I was never, you know, guiding them or leading them. I said, just hold your stone in your hands and close your eyes and just tell me if you feel anything. Mm-hmm. And they just wrote their feelings. And it was the most amazing experience, just sitting back, watching them, and then opening this book and watching them hit it right on. I was literally in awe and just smiled from ear to ear saying, thank you, universe.
And through that question... Yes, and through that question, what do you wonder about, you know, got their minds churning and being a little bit inquisitive, and they learned so many amazing things that they probably wouldn't have learned otherwise. So,
Absolutely.
Wow, that should be academic too, talking about crystals.
Yeah, right.
So, well, maybe soon it will happen. Okay, now I want to shift a little bit back to you. I want to focus on you. I know you've had some wonderful things happen recently. Well, always, of course, wonderful things are happening. But one special thing that happened that's how we actually got connected through our mutual friend. Can you share a little bit about your opportunity that you had recently about, being an author and writing and maybe even some good things going on?
Yes, absolutely. A few years ago, I had gone to a Hay House conference called an I Can Do It conference in Tampa. And as I was sitting in the back of the auditorium listening to one of the speakers, I felt like I was jumping out of my skin. And I couldn't imagine what was going on because I really loved the speaker, but I felt like, did you ever feel like that? Like you just, your energy is just out of control and you just don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
And as I sat back, I heard this little voice inside of my head say, there's a Hay House book in you. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, right, Hay House, one of the largest publishers in the world. Okay. So So I just tried to listen to the speaker and I let it go, and my energy was not settling down. And again, I hear this little voice say, "There's a Hay House book in you." And I thought,
wow.
This is really crazy. And then that happened a third time, and everything happens in threes for me. So when it happened the third time, I stood up and walked out of the auditorium. I went out, stood by the water, just tried to calm myself down so I could really understand what was going on. And I've tried to chase a lot of things in my life. So I said to the universe, "I'm not chasing this. If this is true, if I am to be a Hay House author, then bring it to me. I am open and I am willing." And so for 3 days, I walked around the house just saying, "I am willing." And then on the third day, I went upstairs, put my son to bed, sat in front of the computer just to kind of type some thoughts out. And I was there for a couple hours. And I sat back and I looked at the paper in front of me and I thought, wow, my whole life has led up to this exact moment. I cannot believe that I'm seeing this in print. And one thing led to the other, and I just allowed the universe to guide me, and an opportunity came a few years later this past September to go to another Hay House event called Movers and Shakers. And at this particular event, they give away some awards. You have to send in a book proposal, and they give some awards. One person gets a $10,000 bonus to write a book for Hay House. One person gets to do a radio show, and another person gets what is known as a live web event with Hay House. Mm-hmm. So I had never written a book proposal, but I took the beginnings of that book that I had started a few years ago and put it all together and sent it in. And lo and behold, they awarded me with the live web event.
Yay!
I'm so excited. I was really, when they called me, I was at school, and Cheryl Richardson called, and I was shaking so much, I'm surprised the phone was still in my hand.
Oh, my gosh. How did you feel in that moment? In that moment, right there and then, what was going through your mind?
You know, it's interesting, because I had my phone on my desk, and I had it on vibrate, because I knew December 20th was the day they were going to announce this. And I was a nervous wreck, and I had just finished giving my children a math test that we had to do, and I see that the phone is vibrating, and I'm thinking, do I answer this phone? It's in the middle of my class. I really shouldn't do that. And I'm staring at the phone, and here you go. This is where we talk about foundations and what happened in our foundation and our cracks in our foundation. And I always had a very difficult time believing in myself. So as I'm looking at this phone, I'm staring at it, and I know it's Cheryl Richardson. And I'm thinking, should I pick that up? No, no, no. She's probably just going to tell me I'm a runner-up. So did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do to myself in that moment, right?
Second guess, yeah.
Right. She's going to tell me I'm a runner-up. You know, why would they pick me? Nobody really knows Vicky Savini yet. Okay, she's just going to tell me that. Well, I stopped myself in my tracks, and I said, whoa. That's old brain. That's not where we're going here. I said to my children, give Mrs. Savini just a moment. I took the phone and I went and stood in the hall and I answered it. And in that moment, I was just open again. So you see, I was allowing fear to kind of take hold of me, and that going back to those deep roots that I have. Mm. But then I pulled myself together and said, no, I'm open. I just want to hear what she has to say. Then, of course, when she announced, you know, that I was the winner of this web event. I think I wanted to pee my pants, but I didn't. I held it together.
Good. And oh, my gosh. Wow. And so now, when is that happening? And is there a way that, you know, our listeners can be a part of that? Is there a website or a link that we can send them to? Or
The best thing that they can do is if they go to my Facebook page, it's Vicky Savini with a little squiggle, and it says The Infinity Foundation. If you type my name, Vicky Savini, V-I-C-K-I-S-A-V-I-N-I, you'll see Vicky Savini, The Infinity Foundation. That is the best way to find out about it, because I have not heard back from Hay House yet. It takes them a few months. Mm-hmm. To sign everything up and do what they need to do. So I don't know the exact date at this point. I'm thinking it's going to be sometime in the spring.
Okay, and you know, once you get that information, just send me the, you know, the specifics, and I'll be happy to share that with everyone.
That would be wonderful.
Of course. I really appreciate you so much. You know, I feel an instant connection. It's very interesting for me, but it's like one of those things I'm just trusting and being open to go with the flow with. It's like family, you know. But I wanted to ask you, because we have only a few minutes left, I wanted to ask you two more questions. One of them is, if you had one piece of advice to give your 7-year-old self right now, she's in front of you, what would that be?
Believe in yourself.
Okay. Yes.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. And the other question is, what is your greatest vision for our children? What do you see that, let's say, 5 years, 10 years from now, even now, what is your greatest vision for our kids?
My greatest vision would be that children were getting the strong foundation that they truly deserved from their parents and from their teachers. That children are not only going to school and being given tools like pencils and papers and computers and books to learn from, but that they are being taught what my children are being taught. They're being taught to balance themselves. They're being taught to look within for answers. They're being taught that they're connected to something much bigger.
Mm.
That, for me, would be the vision, because I believe that if we were giving our children those tools at a young age, when they get older and they hit that adulthood period, they wouldn't be asking themselves many of the questions that they are asking themselves and really driving themselves a little crazy,
mm-hmm.
Because their mind would be much stronger. We wouldn't have pulled them from the light.
Mm.
You know, I do have a children's book. It's called The Light Inside of Me. And in that children's book, it just simply teaches children to listen to themselves, that what feels right is the right choice, and that when our light is bright, we're honoring our true self. And when our light is dim, we're allowing it to be dim. Mm. So my huge vision is just that children are given that strong foundation that they truly deserve.
Yes, and I am going to second that. Yes, yes. So can they find that children's book as well on your website? Is that where they can find that? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
I do have a website I can give you. I have one that's under construction, but theinfinityfoundation.com. And you have to make sure it's .com because there's a different one that I believe is .org. So it's theinfinity, INFINITY, foundation, foundation.com, com. And if you go there, it does tell you about the work that I do for children and for adults, and you'll see that you can purchase the book there as well.
Beautiful. And do you have any workshops coming up, or they can just find all that information there as well, right?
Everything is there on the website. I am planning a few teleclasses coming up. I'm looking at doing some webinar type of things, but technology and I are not getting along as well as I would like to, but we're working on that.
Yes, you're working on that. Good. Well, Vicki, it has been such an honor to connect with you and just create this amazing space. And I'm just so grateful for your time and for your amazing energy. And you are welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to really talk to everyone about the importance of childhood, because I think all too often it just breezes right by us. You know, you have a child in your arms, and then the next thing you know, they're off to college, and you think, where did it go? And it's just such a precious time. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, I'm so honored. And everyone, just make sure to check out Vicky's website, theinfinityfoundation.com. So we're actually going to switch it up a little bit and do the energy session right now. So basically, today's healing is going to be very powerful. It's going to be about self-love. I know Vicky touched upon this many times over the conversation we just had. So basically, self-love, it starts with the self and really anchoring that understanding in. You know, many of us have been taught that it's selfish to love ourselves, that, you know, we have to put ourselves last. And what that does is that depletes us, that makes us run on empty. And if we're giving and giving and giving and, you know, putting energy out from an empty cup, per se, an empty vessel, then basically what happens is we start to get irritated. Sometimes our body starts to kind of, you know, not operate at its highest and best, and we may have some resentments and things like that. That's when, you know, it doesn't become the highest experience for us to always be operating from that space. So what we want to do is raise that self-love quotient. And I have a really powerful, simple technique that I use that really, really helps me. And I work with a lot of my clients as well, and really helps them. So I invite you to just go ahead and close your eyes and just take a nice deep breath in. Good. And just breathe out. Good. Just take another deep breath in. And release. Good. And one more. Take a deep breath in, filling up your whole body with oxygen, with life force energy, with love, and breathe that love back out into the universe. Good. Okay, so what I would like for you to do right now, as your eyes are closed, I'd like you to visualize yourself at 3 years old. I want you to see that three-year-old standing in front of you right now. What do they look like? How is their demeanor? Are they standing up a certain way? How's their posture? What are some of the colors that they are wearing? And just start noticing some of the details. Just see. Did they have curly hair, straight hair, blonde hair, brown hair? Just start noticing yourself at 3 years old. And if you can't actually do that, just imagine a picture that you've seen of yourself at around 3 or 4 years old. Good. Now what I want you to do is I want you to get down to the level of that three-year-old, because obviously they're shorter than you. I want you to imagine yourself right now at the age that you are right now. I want you to see yourself looking at the three-year-old version of you. I want you to kneel down and I want you to look at them in the eye and send them the energy of the following words. You are loved. You are good enough. You are worthy and deserving. You can be, choose, and do anything in life that you would like to achieve. You are divine. You are whole. You are loved. Good. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to embrace that child within your arms, heart to heart, just feeling their heart space over yours, feeling the gratitude that they are feeling right now towards you for reminding that child within you that they are loved, that they are good enough. And just send that energy that I fully love, accept you as you are right now and forever. Good. And as you do that, feeling the love back and forth, I want you to see that inner child start to change their demeanor. They have more joy, more zest, more excitement for life, feeling gratitude from them. Good. And just see them go off into the universe, out into the sunset with joy, with love, maybe seeing their family around them, their friends, and if not, just maybe their favorite pet, or just the trees are surrounding them, but feeling that joy that they are radiating, that they know that they are good enough, they are beautiful, they are loved, accepted, can choose, be, do anything in life that they want. Good. And when you are feeling and seeing that happen, just go ahead and bring your awareness back into this moment. Take a deep breath in and release. Good. Take another deep breath in. Feeling grateful for the sacred time you've created, and breathe out. And one more. Take a deep breath in. And release. Gently open your eyes. And just check and see how you feel. You may feel a sense of peace, maybe a little bit lighter. And if you ever need to raise that self-love again, you can always use this exercise at any time. Good. All right. So we are out of time for today. Thank you so much to Vicky for being on the show today. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you and just be here to assist you on your amazing journey. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.